It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. It's Thursday, whether you like it or not, or at least in the Eastern and Central time zones. Gary, how are you?
Well, that was a pretty quiet pre-show meeting.
Yeah, it was.
Every, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. Hey, you see this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Gary, you see that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden we're on the air. Yeah. But we do have stuff to talk about. It's just we were both reading.
Yeah.
And somebody would make a comment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. 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 All right. Yeah. I saw it. Yeah.
It's too hot to talk. I don't want to waste the energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still very warm.
Yeah. It's warm all right. I'll tell you, though, the wind yesterday, I was doing backyard lawn work, and the wind was actually very refreshing.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, the wind was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
My little windmill. Well, it's not a windmill. It's technically it is. It has blades. It's like a decorative thing. I was wondering whether it was going to not break.
I have a weather vane with a live rooster on it, and he looks miserable.
Oh man, we got a great show today. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening. We'll tell you about the pro coal group that blast mansion. Mm. To the point of saying, this destroys, we've had friendship and relationships for years. This destroys it completely. He wants to just kill the coal industry.
Yeah.
And
of course.
So we'll get to that. Minnesota school district pushes for woke math. And you and I were saying, woke math, what would that be? Well, you have five white people.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I'm sorry, let me put it this way. I have to make sure wokeness, you do it correctly. You have five white people, three mm-hmm. of who identify as female, and two who identify as males. How many are systemically racist? And the answer, 15.
Yes.
They're significant others and an average of one child each.
That's right.
woke math.
Of course, that's going to be it. That was always going to be next. If we can't, Florida's going to shut the liberal agenda down when it comes to teaching sexualized content to 5-year-olds. Well, we'll just put our agenda into play and keep it going in other ways.
Put it into math.
Yeah, woke math.
If an electric car...
Yeah.
If an electric car and an electric train are coming in opposite directions...
Well,
one is going 40 miles an hour, the other one is going 70 miles an hour.
Open your math book to page 70 while a drag queen comes out and sings It's Raining Men. I mean,
it's raining men,
how many of the men?
So we'll get to that. Will the Department of Justice indict Trump?
Hmm.
There are many that believe because the grand jury has now called Pat Cipollone who was the White House counsel, that means they probably are. On what charge the theory is being, you know, looked at, and you and I have said, what's the charge? What charge do you throw out? We've never seen, and nobody has ever indicated what that charge may be. There are people speculating on it. We'll get to that. Recidivism skyrockets for New York City criminals. You see that one story in the New York Post that 10 hardened criminals have been, since they have, you know, done, you know, got rid of the whole cash bail thing,
mm-hmm.
10 have been responsible for 500 arrests. Which means 500 different crimes they have been arrested for. That's how bad it gets, because you sit there and you say, well, it's not going to be that bad. Well, wait a minute. All of a sudden you see the repeat rate keeps going up and up and up and up. And then you get to the point where you actually have 10 criminals,
mm-hmm.
500 arrests, which is 500 crimes.
Yeah.
500 suspected crimes.
Right.
From 10 criminals. That's 50 each in what? Less than a year?
Yeah. Wow. You got to be working hard at that.
Yep.
Because you're not afraid of being in jail.
No.
You're not afraid of you know, the idea of them holding you behind bars. You know you're going to get out. This is what it comes down to, is that, what do I care?
Yep. Fauci lying about the origins of COVID. That comes from Rand Paul yesterday. A number of different lawsuits that are out there. We'll get to, we'll have a lawsuit update. A look at the landscape for the midterms. And you know, and we talked about this yesterday. You know, when you see that, you know, the vast majority of the primaries now are over and we're headed towards the midterms. And, for example, we were looking at the Senate and we were talking about, for example, Fetterman in Pennsylvania, who has a lead on Dr. Oz. Now, Dr. Oz, in our opinion, is not a good candidate that the Republicans put up,
mm-hmm.
but neither is Fetterman.
Right.
And you see the fact of, you know, and especially the pounding over the last couple of days on him that he is absolutely in support of men playing women's sports. What was the other? Oh, sanctuary cities,
mm-hmm.
in favor of sanctuary cities. All the things that show landslide numbers against it, and I'm sure in the state of Pennsylvania would be the exact same thing. Somebody who supports Biden's agenda completely. And the question that we're asking is that if you see the numbers for Biden, which are record low numbers for a president, you see what has happened with the Hispanic demographic voter and where they have gone. You know, you're talking shifts, depending on what poll you're looking at 40 or 50 points.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's to the point where the only place where support has not gone down for the president is white women. That's it. Every other demographic has been hit severely. Even when you look at, what was it? Was it the CNN poll that came out that showed 57% of blacks supporting Biden?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a poll, I just saw the headline of a poll saying that the opinion of Democrats overall, the Democrats people believe are responsible for the economy. Well, if that's true, if you see these massive swings and the worst polling numbers ever, you would look at it and say, just using it for an example, there's no way Fetterman should be up by 7 or 9 points on
Oz.
Right. To make a point even more, you had Beto O'Rourke yesterday, the video came out yesterday, where he talked about the fact that critical race theory, that the government shouldn't stop, the teachers from teaching critical race theory. Now, the public is hip to it. The left, really, for the most part, has stopped mass marketing that, well, it's simply teaching about slavery and black history. No, it's not. That's the lie that they tried to throw out. It didn't work. The public knows that isn't the case. The part of critical race theory that people, the exact section of it is where whites, because of their culture, are irredeemably racist, cannot change to the point where it's not in their DNA, but it might as well be in their DNA because they are racist. They can't help it. And all of society should be structured in the way that all whites are racist.
Yeah.
Well, O'Rourke is out there selling that right now. You have a massive, in the border cities we have seen, but a massive movement of Hispanics in the state of Texas. Massive move against Biden. You have the the district where Flores won there, and you look at that and you see that, okay, Abbott's only up 7 or 8. Abbott won, what was it, 2 elections ago by over 20 points. Then he won by 13 points. You're telling me that Beto O'Rourke, who was a horrible candidate, is only 6 or 7, and in some pollings, you know, depending on, you know, where it is over the last couple of months, only 3 or 4 behind Abbott? Really? If that's the case, then the independent voter, the Democrats, who, and there was a story that by the thousands, Democrats are registering Republican in the state of Pennsylvania. So just looking at those two, something is amiss here. Something doesn't make sense. Either the polling is completely wrong across the board on these things, or independents and Democrats that are furious at Biden look at it only as a Biden problem and not a Democrat Party problem.
Right, right.
And what is it? So we'll get to more of that. The congresswoman in...
Yeah, wow. Jackie Walorski.
In Indiana, that was terrible.
Died in a car crash in Elkhart County, Indiana. The House, basically, as of this past Saturday, was back in their home districts. And that included Representative Walorski. And she was traveling on a state highway yesterday afternoon with two of her employees. One was a local employee there in the district. And another car coming the opposite direction, crossed lanes. The person driving that car and all three in Walorski's car, including Walorski, were killed in that crash. And it's deeply sad. It really is, for any family to have to go through this. The sheriff's department there in Elkhart County, Indiana, talking about yesterday afternoon how, of course, they had to deliver the news to her husband and family. And it appeared that she was going to get, by all accounts, she was likely, if the Republicans took control of the House in November, she would be the next chair of the Ways and Means Committee, which she was already on. She was also a champion for foster care in her state. Being a former foster parent myself, that's something that I certainly connect with, and the problem is in every state. It's just so horrendous. So anybody who's a champion for that cause is somebody I'm going to support, at least in that effort. And it's just, you think about, just again, the unexpected situation. We lost a family member about a month ago. Ourselves to a car crash unexpectedly. You wake up one morning and you get a phone call, and it's just horrific. Our thoughts and prayers are with Walorski's family and colleagues and friends and the friends and family of her staffers and the driver of the other vehicle. I mean, it's just a horrific situation. Really is. Very sad.
It is. In our she and her family in our thoughts. Also coming up here on the show, apprenticeships.
Yeah.
Have doubled over the last. And this is where, instead of going to college, companies are hiring high school students to do an apprenticeship and paying them very, very well. And it has doubled over the last decade.
You and I had talked about this over the years about, if the private sector wants to compete for the talent and they are able to offer, the wages, then they're going to have to get out there, whether they get out there in the colleges or they promote in the trade schools or they do something like this, an apprenticeship. Think about that. That's something that is very attractive, depending on the pay, but certainly is very attractive to a number of people, in that you can go in and you can learn a job, you can learn a skill, you can be trained. You can get paid well to do that, and then know that, you're already getting paid. It's not like you go and you spend your money on going to college for 4 years and then you wander out the door and wonder why no one is hiring you with your arts degree. You know, this is likely going to be, hopefully, I won't say likely, but hopefully going to be more of a trend than not, is that this kind of behavior by companies, get them on board, train them, pay them now. But, you know, people are going to have to be willing to do the work. You're not going to get rich being a YouTube star. You know, you're going to have to get out there and learn something, learn a trade, learn a skill, learn a job. And this is a good deal.
Plus, electric car drivers, here's the headline, why you might not be pumped over the privacy-jolting mileage taxes that are coming because, you know, the whole Infrastructure Act made it so the federal government now putting a whole bunch of pilot programs in to go after, you know, taxing electric vehicles for the miles that they drive. So that on the way and a whole bunch more. Go woke, go broke. The story of Batgirl was the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. That and more coming up. Plus your calls and comments. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Keep your engine humming in the heat this summer by keeping up with preventive maintenance. Think your PM is complete after your oil is changed? Think again. There's grease, transmission fluids, and gear oil to consider too. Grease, for example, is made of oil, thickener, and additives. It provides rust protection by preventing water spray off and wash off on equipment like the universal joint, fifth wheel, and clutch throwout bearings. It also helps protect major greasing points like tie rod ends, spring pin bushings, kingpin, and the chassis. Today's synthetic oils means more miles between engine oil changes, but greasing intervals aren't growing at the same pace. Your fifth wheel, for example, needs to be greased every 15,000 miles or monthly. Stop into a TA truck service near you to start or strengthen your preventive maintenance program today.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Eric Harley here for a new sponsor, Total Tax, Inc. Total Tax knows how challenging it can be to run your own business. Whether it's just you and your rig on the open road or if you operate a fleet, Total Tax can help. They've been helping small business owners like you across the USA since 1991 with an experienced and licensed team of financial and tax experts to help keep your business on track and successful. Whether you need help filing back tax returns, resolving taxes you owe, or staying on top of your bookkeeping and current tax returns, think of Total Tax as your business partner providing you with peace of mind while you're on the road. Total Tax is a family-owned business that understands our independent tradesmen are the backbone of America, and they look forward to serving your financial and tax needs so you can keep our country running strong by providing consistent, personal, dedicated, effective, and ethical service to their clients. Total Tax has sustained an A+ BBB rating for over three decades. Go to TotalTaxForTruckers.com or call 855-920-4121 today and get a free consultation. That's TotalTaxForTruckers.com. TotalTaxForTruckers.com.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley, 866-90 Red Eye. Are you ready for one more piece of greatness from the late Vin Scully?
Let's do it. I was hoping we would do more.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This one is absolutely a necessity to play this audio cut.
Yeah. Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free, and all of a sudden, there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway.
There you go. Love it.
I didn't know this. I didn't know that he, when the whole kneeled down in protest of the national anthem, and then when they took it off, like some of the, remember the broadcast, they just weren't going to play it?
Right, in football.
Yeah, in the NFL. I didn't know he boycotted the NFL.
Mm.
Yeah, I saw that story yesterday. I'd never heard that during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had to make sure that we...
He's going to be missed in more ways than one. In many, many, many ways, he's going to be missed. You know, you won't get those. There are very few. I mean, there are still some, but I don't know where that next generation of the next, you know, play-by-play guy, person comes from.
Non-woke? You
know, that's what I mean. It's that you're going to be controlled by the networks to the point of you're just basically going to be calling the game. You're not going to be the personality. And, you know, I'm grateful there's some still around, but I'm guessing that's a dying breed.
This is Brain Surgery. Every night, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Because we were just having a conversation completely off, you know, anything that was a hot topic yesterday, which really there wasn't a hot topic yesterday. It really seemed to be pretty quiet. It's like the mansion thing. It's like nobody really wants to, no Democrat really wants to talk about it. You didn't hear anything about, okay, we're going to get together. And it may happen where they're going to vote on it the next couple of days, but Kyrsten Sinema is still quiet on it. But we were still getting into the discussion about who was it on MSNBC that said that the reason that the WNBA player is in Russia is because there's not equal pay for basketball players,
right?
You know, here in the United States, that they don't make as much as men. And then we went through the actual numbers on it. We went through the numbers of the NBA, which has revenues of $7 billion, and the WNBA, which has revenue of $67 billion.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking federal government. $67 million.
Which seems really small because we're always talking in terms of billions.
Yeah, exactly. And
trillions.
So when you look at it, actually, if you take, as we did, the average salary of the WNBA player as to the revenues that they produce are actually making more than men in the NBA.
Right.
Yeah. And
on the average,
on the average. And the thing is, it's all revenue driven. Do you think the marketplace gives a hoot whether you're a man or a woman?
No, not
Oprah.
At all.
Let's go through. We go through Oprah. We go through Serena Williams.
Yep.
Ellen DeGeneres and the success. They don't care. All
Beyonce.
They care about. Yeah, exactly. They don't care. You bring the bucks at Lady Gaga.
I mean, really, you could argue the only music artist making Beyonce money is her husband. You know, he's making it for other, you know, being a producer and entrepreneur. But I mean, if you think about it, I mean, these are massive, 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 massive whales when it comes to generating a ton of wealth based on what they do. And it's, I was telling you during the break that I watched a few minutes of the latest Bill Burr stand-up special on Netflix, from Red Rock, and it's interesting. I think they were kind of limited on directing. That's the only complaint I would have about it. It's really great in terms of if you like Bill Burr's humor, then you'll enjoy it. I think they were struggling because of the setup of the theater. It didn't have the same production quality, in my opinion, of his other specials. But he made the point of women's sports, and he was talking about, he alluded to the WNBA and women's soccer. And he was saying, look, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm obviously not able to use the language and wouldn't use the language he was using. But he says, you know, and in typical Bill Burr fashion, this is your problem, ladies. And what he was saying was, and he went on to say that, look, why aren't there tons of feminists selling out these WNBA games? He said, and then to the audience, he was, you know, because he always goes back and forth with the audience. He almost picks a fight with the audience in all of his stand-up specials. At some point, he's there, you know, they'll go, ooh, or something like that, or they'll get quiet, and he'll just, you know, and he just kind of takes them on. And it's just, it's tongue-in-cheek. But he says, oh, come on. The top five WNBA players. Name five WNBA players. Name three WNBA teams. Name the WNBA team of your town. You know, he was, you know, so he's challenging them, basically saying, why aren't the feminists showing up to these games? Because he was saying, why is it on? Because they, you know, men should be more involved and there should be a greater effort to get behind this whole movement of equal pay and women's sports and everything else. And he's, and I'm guessing he was aiming this at Megan Rapinoe on soccer. He says, look, you've got a stadium of 20,000. You fill it with 1,500? No, that's a bad day. The promoter's having a, that's a huge loss for the promoter of that event. And so where are all of the fans? Where are all the female fans? And he says, and then he says, no, the Kardashians. They'll sit and watch the Kardashians go, you know, whatever drama they're doing, and they're making $1 billion. The wives of whatever, all the different wives shows, and they're tearing each other down. He says, I can't tell you why the audience would rather watch women engage in drama rather than come together as a team to win something.
Right, but that's what the marketplace
that's
shows.
That's what the marketplace
right.
is.
Right.
You're not going to change it. You're not
right.
going to, because, you know, this that's the whole thing.
You're not going to guilt people into what they're going to do in their entertainment time.
It's not going to happen. I'll never forget Liam Neeson in the interview. What do you think women should get equal pay on in movies? Yes. Are you willing to give up some of your pay to make that happen? No. Well, no. Why would I do that? You know, and the point is that it gets down to it. I mean, you know, then you could easily argue, well, Beyonce in that regard is box office. There are plenty of male artists that have been around and probably for 40, 50 years that will never come close to being a billionaire, having hundreds of millions of dollars and generating hundreds of millions of dollars in wealth the way she has. You could say the same from Oprah. For Oprah, she started as a reporter. Then all of a sudden, boom, media empire, you know, and tons of influence from that media empire. Ellen DeGeneres. And while she complained about people, you know, being bigoted against her sitcom back in the day, I would argue that, well, the writing really wasn't
on. You and I brought up The View.
And
we brought it up yesterday how the View, well, I brought it up, how The View perpetuates the wrong stereotype of a woman, a sexist stereotype that has existed, but it's what they perpetuate, which is women are dumb and emotional and don't do their homework.
Right.
And they make tons of money
yep.
on that show.
Yep.
Why? Because there's a market for it. Do I believe it's beneficial? No. Do I believe that show is beneficial as an indication of how women think in our society? No.
No. No.
But in the marketplace, there is a market for that gives them an extremely good living.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's not going to be canceled. And apparently, Whoopi's not going to be fired for anything that she has said in the past.
Right.
And,
the show is so bad. They have the lawyers actually watching the show as it happens and putting disclaimers for what they say.
Yeah.
Tell me what other show does that.
I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
So they don't get lawsuits. They'll say something and 5 minutes later they're handed a piece of paper. You need to read this and you need to retract what you say. Okay, so they do it twice. This was like last week or the week before.
Mm-hmm.
They did it twice during the show, then had to come back the next day and do it again. And then the next day, Whoopi had to do it again. Four disclaimers they had
yes.
to give.
And on that first apology, the first thing I said to you when they read that apology, somebody else aside from Whoopi, who said it
yes,
in the first place, issued the apology. And then that's why Whoopi had to come back and issue the apology herself. And as she said, my bad. My bad.
So, you know, that's the marketplace doesn't really care.
No.
Whether you're a man or a woman.
No.
what matters is, you know, this whole thing went on. Remember when they the Ghostbusters with when it was all women and whatever, and
right,
and you know, and it was I think it was Dan Aykroyd. Well, you know, the sexism and the guys in their basements and, you know, criticizing it. No, the criticism wasn't based on the fact that they're women. The criticism was based that those were iconic characters.
Right.
Those individuals
right.
are impossible to replace.
Yeah. Right.
Because they were such iconic characters, and Dan Aykroyd was one of them.
Right.
It wasn't a sexist point of view.
Right. No, I mean that's the way right. that's the way it is. You know? I mean, if you remade Little Women into Little Men, I'm guessing it's not the same movie. You know? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Well,
is that there are certain
the Golden Girls.
Yeah, right. Aside from grumpy old men. That is to a T, my dad and his late fishing buddy, Ken. They were just, that's exactly who
no,
they were.
You can't, well, you can't, no, you can't replace those iconic characters.
No, you can't.
It wasn't the fact that, well, we just threw four women in there and the show succeeded because people want to see women in those roles. No, it succeeded because you had great actors.
Yeah. Charlie's Angels wouldn't have been a hit with three guys. Sorry, it wouldn't have been. You know, I mean, it's you're not going. These are the things. This is what the way it's written. You know, it's there was.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll add another one to go back to iconic shows. Another character, be man or woman, couldn't mm-hmm. have replaced the character of Jack Tripper in Three's Company.
Right.
Nobody could have replaced Jack Tripper in, you know, in there at all.
Right. Right.
It's impossible.
Well, because of his uniqueness, it was his uniqueness. He had almost a Jerry Lewis quality in that character.
Yeah.
And the way he portrayed it, which was great. At times he was a little bumbling and kind of, you know, finding his way. They had that whole, you know, secret they were keeping from the landlord. All that, you know, but if you come in to change it to something else, you're basically creating a new movie or show. You know, you're creating a whole new venture there, and you're expecting to ride on the appeal of the original. And you shouldn't do that.
Right. And to sit there and automatically claim that it's sexist is just, it's ridiculous. And it's not true. That's the thing. It's not true. But, yeah, when talking about the whole, because... and then Megan Rapinoe comes out, you know, the equal pay, but then comes out and says men should be able to play in women's sports. It's
like, well, no, I mean, so where are you going to draw that line?
I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing. But it was just an interesting discussion because the marketplace doesn't care. The marketplace does. If you can produce the ratings, there isn't anybody that isn't going to pay you money.
Right.
And they don't care whether
right.
you're black, white, woman, whatever.
Right.
Whatever a woman is, we don't.
Yeah, we don't pretend to
right.
know.
We don't want to be presumptuous here.
Well, I mean,
and define what a woman is.
There are a number of actors that have, you know, you could say, okay, well then why is it always, you know, in an action movie it's always a guy? And I'll tell you right now, I think one of the most intimidating actors on screen is Carrie Russell, and when she her role in The Americans and the one Mission Impossible, she's incredible. And she comes off scary because she can deliver a line in a very serious fashion. And it's like, wow, you know, and she, you know, she's just one of those people who can portray someone like that. It's like, you got to find the right person. You know, I don't expect that Jack Black could be James Bond. You know? I just don't. It's just, that's just the way you're not going to pull it off. Not going to work. Just not going to work.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, you know, the Biden administration talking about how gas prices are, you know, have come down, which they have. The reason why, and this is from Bloomberg, and we'll get into the specifics coming up following the top of the hour, but this thing hit me just when I was reading it a couple of minutes ago, right when we started the break here. I looked at you and I said, oh my God, this is horrible. Americans are officially driving less than they did during the summer of 2020, when everything was really locked down that summer. Remember, parks were closed.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Exactly.
Outdoor activities were closed. Yeah. Americans are officially driving less than they did during the summer of 2020. And why? Inflation. They can't afford to drive. If you want to know why gas prices are coming down, and by the way, that's from Bloomberg, just for anybody who, where is that coming from? Fox? No, Bloomberg, a liberal media outlet. We'll get to the specifics of it, because that's the first thing I looked at that said, oh, it's bad. It's bad. This is really affecting people.
Top of the Hour News is brought to you by Howe's Products. Visit howesproducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, and you can listen whenever you want in case you can't listen to us live during, you know, the show now. And some people are listening in the future. What I'm saying right now is saying I'm in that predicament, and I'm listening to you on the podcast.
And it's even worse for them than it is for us right now as we're saying it live.
Yes.
Oy.
By the way, thanks to Kevin Tober from Newsbusters, who was apparently, newsbusters.org, was apparently listening, and we were talking about The View. He said, regarding your discussion of The View, he tweeted this out, how is it that the two most miserable women on the planet are named Joy and Whoopi?
That's a great, great question. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate you being out there. And we appreciate, again, all the hard work from everybody at Newsbusters. We've always said they have the tough job of monitoring all the media. And Kevin is the first to tell you, they love their work. They're proud to do it, and they do a good job. And we appreciate it because we get a great benefit.
Is he lying?
I think he's being honest.
Is he lying?
Now, he may be a bit demented.
Okay, I'm going to watch the entire NBC Nightly News.
He's a glutton for punishment.
Really?
You know, I think it would be interesting because you and I are looking at it for other reasons. Obviously, they analyze too, and that's what they do. But you know, they have a slightly different mission statement there. So I don't know that I could sit still long enough in front of watching it. You know, I think I told you, we talked about it. What did I watch? Was it ABC Evening News? This is a few months ago, for the first time in a long time. And I even forget what the story was, but it was, you know, just the way they presented it, I thought to myself, my gosh. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, when I was a kid. And now, story time with Eric and Gary. You know, the evening news to our parents was a big deal because that's what you got, right? Depending on the market that you lived in, you got a morning newspaper and maybe an afternoon newspaper. But you got the evening news. So you tuned in to the network news and the local news. That was, you know, so that hour, it was everything. And, you know, your 30 minutes of local, your 30 minutes of evening news on the national. I can't tell you, I've never actually asked my dad, how much trust, you know, he put, in the coverage of the news. But, you know, I mean, they lived through some, my dad went to war twice. They lived through JFK assassination and the coverage of that and all those things. So I don't know. I've actually never had this conversation with my dad about how much trust did you put in it. But I know him well enough to say this, that he would probably tell you that it was all we had. And so it really didn't matter if I felt that they weren't giving me the whole story. It was still up to me to, you know, decipher what I was privy to, what I had available to me at that time. And then, you know, basically I could, you know, decide for myself, because he was in the military. And I think that's, you know, it was probably the case for a lot of people, is that not that they just, that there was this adoration for, you know, whoever, David Brinkley, Walter Cronkite, any of them. It was, I think, more so that, all right, this is what you got. This is the evening news, and you tune in. And you got a preference, you know, over the three. You might have, you know, whatever, whoever it is. CBS over NBC over ABC or whatever. But ultimately, it was about basically taking it and trying to make sense of it and still be able to do the job that was, you know, in front of you. In his case, serving in the military. But these days, there is so much stuff that is out there. It is absolutely rich with in just the presentation by the mainstream media, by the liberal media. It is rich with items that you and I can just, you know, pull out and go, listen to this. And it's what everybody, I think, is experiencing now. We get a lot of feedback from our audience. And they'll say, hey, did you guys see this? You know, they'll send us stuff. Hey, did you guys see this? You see this? And that's what I love. And we've always said, you know, we have to do our own homework, even if you are listening to us, and thank you for doing that, it's on all of us to stay aware of things that are being presented to us, and to stay on top of it and decipher what exactly it is.
No, for me, it's not. It's got nothing to do with it. I can watch the nightly news if I'm in work mode. Mm-hmm. For me, the problem has always been. And everybody knows when I go on vacation, the first couple of days is always at my, to see my dad. And dad doesn't watch as much, but when mom was alive, I would go visit. Mom would listen to conservative talk radio all day.
Right.
From the time she woke up to the time the radio would be on all day, and then they'd turn on the nightly news, and mom would just once in a while go,
Yeah.
Watching the night. But yeah. It would drive me crazy because I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also as a former program director, when you listen to the radio, you're analyzing everything of how they're doing, not necessarily their opinion, but the formatics of it, which is how, you know, they present it to you. You're back in work mode. And I would hate that, because when I'm on vacation, it's like I just want to get away from it a little bit. And right, it would be like, right. I got to get out of here. And then they would watch the nightly news,
yeah,
the national news.
Yeah.
And I would just like, I can't, I'm on vacation. This is killing me. I can do it when it's work mode. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm analyzing it. And I actually love doing it, because it's like, okay, I caught this bias there, caught this bias there, caught this bias there. When I'm watching it with when I used to watch it with them, it would be presented. I'm like, I have nowhere to let loose except in front of them going, I can't believe that they're saying, and they're like, can we watch the news, please?
Yeah,
because I'm automatically in criticizing mode of their bias.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, at times, you know, you would think you see this bias. You understand what you're watching here, right? Mm. We know what we're watching.
That often, if I'm at my parents' house and we just happen to take in the evening news, if it's that time of day, then we'll watch it. Dad will watch Bret Baier, and then, you know, he might tune in over to the networks. But if we do, it helps to launch, the, father and son talk show that we have, inevitably it always ends in that, or it results in that. We talk different items, and I love hearing his perspective. And you know, it's these are things that, and he'll share it. You know, and that's an opportunity for me. But you're right. I have to just kind of shut down my, you know, bulldog mode, you know.
Well, I've had
listen to Dad and you know, take it in knowing that Dad and I are going to have a discussion about it in a few minutes.
Yeah, I've been accused by some friends, well, you're hypersensitive to bias. I go, no, I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see and for example, most people might view this as being hypersensitive, but when News Nation came aboard and they were running those advertisements that, you know, we're unbiased, we're unbiased, we're unbiased, we're unbiased, we're unbiased. And you and I one day just said, okay, let's see if they're, and we did it off the top of the head, remember? News Nation, liberal transgender activist movement, or a transgender movement. And we went into a story where they said, you know, a biological man who became a woman, they referred to her as she. And I said, that's bias right there.
Yeah, right.
Now, I don't believe that's being hypersensitive to bias. I think it's recognizing, you know, the subtle bias that media, you know, puts in. Should we call it unconscious bias?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I just had to throw that term in there. That we see. I don't believe that's hypersensitive. We may recognize it more because we do it for a living every day, but I don't believe that fits the definition of hypersensitive. It's just the recognition of bias when it exists, and that was simply you've already taken a political position by calling a biological man she.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not wrong on that when we say it, but some people, you're just hypersensitive on. And I get that from, you know, some of my friends. Well, you're just hypersensitive to everything. I go, it's not hypersensitivity. I simply recognize it, and it's important to recognize it.
Right. No, it is.
That's a big, because to me, it's not being hypersensitive when you refer to a biological male as a she.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's because that's part of the agenda. We're going to start changing the definition of things.
But then when News Nation hired Chris Cuomo, then, okay, there it is. All right, all your promotion about being unbiased and just doing the straight news, that went out the window really quick.
Yeah, we report, you shut up. I think that's their slogan. I could be wrong. But, I mean, it's...
I haven't seen those ads a lot lately, though. I haven't seen the ads for News Nation. They were all over the place
for
a while. I just haven't seen them.
Well, I mean, it makes you wonder why they would, you know, grab something out of the fire. You know, the whole thing of Chris Cuomo and how he was fired and his association with his brother and all of that and how everything went down. Why would you even touch that?
Because they needed a name. They weren't, this is my guess, they weren't selling Dan Abrams' philosophy of nobody was buying that they were unbiased news. That wasn't drawing an audience. And so what you do, you have to hire some kind of name. And who can you afford? I heard they're paying him like $1 million is what the report was.
Hmm.
And he was making like $5 million. On CNN. Oh, by the way, you saw on CNN, now they're trying to figure out what to do on CNN because the ratings are down and therefore the billing is down.
Right.
The advertising is down.
That's the way it works.
But there was no demand for Chris Cuomo.
No,
it was desperation from a fledgling network that's saying we need some kind of name. We need this will give us some type of publicity, and we need something.
Well, they're buying into the even bad publicity can be good publicity, but I don't buy that because you still, in this case, you've got to get an audience there for him. You've got to get an audience to trust your brand and to trust him for an hour or however long it's going to be per day. You know, and I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can do that.
Well, here's an example. You know, you talk about, you know, what helps any personality mm-hmm. is the real estate that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Red Eye Radio, we're on great real estate.
Mm-hmm.
The radio stations
mm-hmm.
we're on are the greatest radio stations in the history of radio
yeah.
in the United States, possibly the world.
True
when
story.
When you look at the history of the radio stations that we're on, real estate, you know, matters. You look at Shep Smith. He never really fit Fox when he was on.
No, he didn't. He spent an hour countering the other 23 right. hours of that
right.
network.
And so the liberal media loved him because he was on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's gone, do you hear about him at all?
No.
Is he still on CNBC?
I think so.
<That's>... But you don't hear anything. There's nothing.
No. And most people would tell you, for that same network that Jay Leno is retired. But he's got a show on that same network.
Yeah.
Which I find more interesting than the news with Shep Smith.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller. And I'm here to share a tip on drug and alcohol testing. When you drive a CMV, you may be subject to DOT and or non-DOT drug and alcohol testing. DOT drug and alcohol testing only applies to drivers who operate CMVs that require a CDL. If a driver holds a CDL but does not operate a CDL CMV, then DOT testing does not apply. Types of DOT testing include pre-employment, post-accident, random, reasonable suspicion, return to duty, and follow-up. Your employer may also conduct some or all of these types of tests as non-DOT tests. All non-DOT tests are based on what is allowed by state employment law and your motor carrier's company drug and alcohol testing policy. Non-DOT test results are not reported to the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse and do not require a driver to complete the DOT's return to duty process. A motor carrier may have their own consequences for a positive drug or alcohol test, though, including non-DOT return to duty process. Make sure you know your carrier's policy and what types of testing apply to you. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So this from Bloomberg. Americans are officially driving less than they did in the summer of 2020 when pandemic travel restrictions all but halted movement. In an indication of how bad inflation might be affecting people right now, the four-week average of U.S. gasoline consumption, the best gauge for the country's demand, is now more than 1 million barrels a day below pre-COVID seasonal norms. According to the Energy Information Administration data, the drop suggests the glimmer of demand recovery seen last week was fleeting. Though pump prices have fallen for 50 straight days, it's still not enough to lure drivers back to the road, with historic inflation constraining consumer budgets. Wow. The dip in demand caused gasoline futures to plunge as much as 11% in New York on Wednesday. While that should put retail prices even lower, the relief at the pump may come too late as the summer driving season nears its end. That's mind-boggling when you look at that, because that's also an indication, too, of not only, you know, how inflation is affecting people, but how much is that is a slowdown in the GDP also.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you look at it there right now, the oil prices in the last few days have plummeted, and I think those inventory reports are showing it, and that's where you measure that demand. How much are we How much are we driving as a nation? You know, at the beginning of the summer, there were a few people that were driving. It was hard to measure, I guess, the demand because we were measuring against COVID, basically. But now, looking at this, basically the demand being lower than it was during COVID, as they put all this together for this inventory report, it makes you wonder where it goes and how bad the economy might be going into the fall. You know, because you look at it, and basically this week and maybe next week, that's the end of the summer vacation driving season. There's still a little bit of driving on Labor Day, but anecdotally, I was telling you during the Independence Day holiday, I was doing some driving, and it was not as robust at destination points that I was at. And I think we're going to see right now that demand probably stay very low as long as families have to make choices. Who can afford the gas to go anywhere?
Bizarro world. We're living in it. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 86690 Red Eye. Good article in Real Clear Investigations, which is a part of Real Clear Politics by Eric Felton from yesterday, talking about that the infrastructure bill from last year authorized the Department of Transportation to launch new pilot programs to test ways to collect necessary road fees for electric vehicles.
Uh-huh.
These include a range of high-tech means, such as accessing location data from third-party on-vehicle diagnostic devices, a smartphone applications, telemetric data collected by automakers, motor vehicle data obtained by car insurance companies, data obtained from fueling stations, and any other method the Secretary of Transportation considers appropriate. Location data, that is information where people are and where they've been, is highly sensitive, said the legislative director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a nonprofit that defends civil liberties in cyberspace. It can reveal what they do, who they're with, where they worship, what medical procedures they are having.
No, absolutely. It's just like the metadata that the NSA was collecting. You know, I mean, if you can establish, you can, in fact, I would argue that by pulling all of this data that we're talking about here, you would get a greater insight or personal information, because you can tell directly where the individual is going. Making a phone call is one thing, you know, and we still are, were then, and are now highly against the NSA collecting that metadata. But think about this. This is the left mindset. This goes right in line with, you know, Janet Yellen talking about, well, we want to collect data from bank accounts where there's a deposit of over $600. You know, basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to grasp control of your life, get into every aspect of your life so that they can tax every aspect of your life.
Well, we care, our audience cares, but Does the public at large care? I remember that when the metadata story came out and we were livid, you know, that the fact that it was the Democrats that had to report about the NSA and what they were doing and the Republicans were quiet on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, where the heck are the Republicans? And the majority of the callers that we took that night disagreed with us and thought the NSA should be able to do whatever they wish to do. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember
mm-hmm.
how shocked we were?
Mm-hmm.
And so if that now, again, caller's not an indication of the people that are actually listening to the show.
Right.
Make that clear. But the fact is, the majority of the calls that we received on that backed the NSA and said, well, what's harm? If you're not doing anything wrong, what's the problem with the NSA doing it? And we're like, are we talking to conservatives?
Right.
Well, what's going on? And already we're monitored in a way if you have a toll tag.
Yes.
Every time I go to the airport, and waiting, go to the little place where you're either supposed to get the ticket, you have a toll tag, before the gate opens up, it says, "Hello, Gary McNamara."
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there's cameras on that.
Mine says, "Oh, great. What now?"
Yeah, I'm sure there's cameras that are looking at me also. So it's got my picture and it has my license plate.
Mm-hmm.
It knows I'm at the airport. Every time I go through, I think, I'm glad I'm not a criminal because I would get caught in the system today with having a toll tag. They can follow you wherever you go if you're near a toll road or if you're going into an airport which uses the same exact system. This would go even further if they were using GPS, and the point they bring up, would it be the feds just monitoring you, or would every state get to do it too to collect their portion?
Well, if the Fed can do it, then the state has the authority, right? I mean, if it's constitutional for the Fed to do it.
Not whether they – I wasn't talking about the legal part of it. I was talking about the fact of the money part of it, and then not just the federal government looking at you, but
the state, localities, whatever. I think the revenue thing is a given.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew if the Fed can do it, of course the state can do it.
Right. And so the idea, though, is – because it would be one thing if we're talking about an investigation where your Fourth Amendment rights are recognized and that authorities have to go through a process in order to get that data to look into something. That's one thing. But an open monitoring for the point of taxation, following you essentially full time for the point of taxation, to me, does not pass the constitutional muster.
So when they look at the different ways, they have the GPS, which would be able to monitor you wherever you go within a couple of feet.
Yeah, right.
Then they talk about the pay at the pump fee system, but that doesn't work because you can charge from home.
Mm-hmm.
Where you would, there would be a fee at the fuel pump, or the fuel pump would monitor with your car how many miles you have driven since you last filled up, and that would mean that every fuel pump would have to be connected to every fuel pump across the nation in order to do that, in order to figure out how many miles.
Unless they did a how they do a fuel tax. If they did it this way, this would be interesting because you'd have to apply it to home charges as well.
Well, no, what you'd do is the miles that you're driven would be kept in your car, and the pump would charge you whatever miles you have driven, and not the amount of electricity that you get. And therefore, if you're charging at home, that doesn't matter. It's how many miles you've driven in the vehicle that hits the charge.
Unless they wanted to work it out to an average. Because what I'm thinking about is the pushback on this, right? Because the idea of essentially them following you is creepier for, I think, a lot of people, even creepier than the NSA thing, even though, for me, they live in the exact same category. And so you start saying, okay, well, wait a minute. They're going to be, because that'll be the hot story. Okay, here it is, and now they have the authority, or now they're doing this if they put something like this into motion. And then the counter could be, okay, we're going to do, I don't know what it would be, based on an average, then we're just going to apply a tax to the charging process.
And the other way is you simply prepay.
Prepay the tax?
You prepay the mileage you're going to, I'm buying 1,000 miles.
Yeah. Could be.
And so you have...
You agreed to say, okay, I'm going to... Basically, you're looking at like a minimum or average tax based on what you're using. Because if you're looking at the number of charging hours, and while it does vary because it depends on driver behavior, the type of vehicle, how efficient the battery is, and all these things, and the amenities that you're using on board and all of that. I could see where they could back off of this, might back off of this, in trying to negotiate this whole thing and say, all right, we'll do an average. In other words, this is going to be at an average tax, even from your home meter, an average tax on the charger. I don't, honestly, it's at some point, it's inevitable if the push is on for more EVs on the road, there's no way they're not going to tax it. It's just how they're going to implement it.
How they're going to do it. Right.
And the very creepy of, okay, we'll just tap into your GPS. Whoa.
That would be the least popular.
Right.
Now, pay at the pump because your car is connected, you know, electronically, mm-hmm. where, again, it would just take into, it's not monitoring how much electricity you use, but how many miles you have driven. But then again, when you think about this, I have to pay road tax for the time that I idle.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, so I think they could change it. I know that they're doing right now. The focus is a per mile tax, but I could see the compromise coming back as we're going to do an average based on the charging, and it would be an average tax basically, and it would apply whether you're using a charger on the road or a charger at home. Because
and how many miles would you base it on?
It wouldn't be based on miles. It would be based on how much you're charging, how much energy. It's not because you're using more energy, but they would average it out and say, okay, this is going to be the average. Because that, I'm talking about a compromise, because otherwise it has to be, we're going to track you everywhere you go. And
yeah, but how do you do an average on electricity if you're charging at a gas station and at home? How do they separate that?
They don't. They apply it in both. That's my point.
But you're going to have to guess what the average, number one, what's the average miles driven? What is the average electricity used mm-hmm. for those miles driven? And there's a wide disparity from
Because of driver behavior. Car you drive and everything else.
And yeah. And so to make right. that average, people would
some are going to pay more.
People would throw a fit. Look, yeah. I drive my car 500 miles a year.
Okay, we're going to follow you around.
Well, you'd have to have some way. You would have to have some evidence that you would have to provide at the end of the year, and it could be on your tax form government, where you'd have to sit there and say, "All right, you know," part of your inspection mm-hmm. would be how many. And I don't know if this would be part because it's a state inspection, not a federal inspection. But part of the inspection, if you have a electric vehicle, would be every year you have to go in and they figure out what your mileage is. And then that's part of how your average is figured out for the next year.
Or you can do the average, or you can voluntarily allow us access to your mileage. And if you voluntarily do that, like the insurance companies do with driver behavior.
Right.
But the problem is that if you get into a, because I don't think the court challenge, I think it would be an interesting court challenge to say, okay, we're going to monitor, we're going to pull the GPS data from all of these vehicles. And that, you know, that obviously, that's a massive, massive constitutional concern. So, and it creeps people out. Politically, it is going to go, you know, whoa. For whatever reason, too many people on the NSA metadata collection were like, yeah, well, it's just they just get numbers. They don't listen to the phone calls. As far as you know, they don't. But the idea of following you around, this is what the cell phone manufacturers and service providers had to deal with. Did you know that your iPhone can track where you're going? Well, yeah, you've got your GPS turned on all the time. You know, you're using maps all the time. Yeah. And
I order Uber.
Yeah.
I can see where I am. They can see where I am.
Right.
Yeah. And I know it's on.
Exactly. And, you know, but that's a commercial venture. But right. It still had that creepy effect. And it was like, okay, here's how you can turn that off. So there was kind of this media campaign to, hey, you know, you can change that. You don't have to have it on. By the way, all the apps now on permissions and your location, one of the options is only while the app is in use.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
That's because of the pushback on that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I just had this one thought here. Does any state use the mileage tax yet? And I'm just asking the question because I remember it had to be 10 years ago. Remember when Oregon was doing their test pilot on mileage?
Yeah. I don't know where that went.
Yeah, I don't believe they are. I haven't read anywhere where any states are actually doing it at the moment for EVs.
Let's see here. It looks like there are a couple of states. Oregon and Utah launching the first programs, and several other states are running pilots to test technology and build public support.
Okay, so they're running the pilot programs. They're not actually taxing.
Oregon and Utah are taxing. The others are running pilot programs.
Wow.
Yeah, according to the Washington Post.
Well, I should have figured Oregon was.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were the first to start that, as you just mentioned.
Yeah, it was years
that
ago.
Pilot program years ago.
Yeah, we had talked about it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have to look into that, see whether it's, I'm assuming it has to be the GPS program.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Or just reporting. I mean, every state collects that data on mileage every inspection. So they're going to get that one way or the other. So I don't know if it's paid yearly or if they average it out. I'm not sure.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the entire planet Earth, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, and you can listen to us when you choose. So you were just looking at the different proposed mileage taxes out there. Oregon's mileage tax, you were just doing some research during the break, is not mandatory.
Neither is Utah's, but it's interesting. Which state do you think has more participants?
Utah.
Utah has more participants. That's interesting. And it is you essentially
opt in.
You opt in and you get a credit on your gas tax. But what's interesting too is that it's not about just EVs. It's for vehicles that get in Oregon above 20 miles per gallon. I think it is different in Utah.
Well, it's almost every vehicle.
Well, I mean, you know, I bought a truck that gets that averages right 1 mile per hour above that, or 1 mile per gallon above that.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, the question is, all right, because so you sign up, they only have, I don't know, this goes back a few months. They have fewer than 400 in Oregon. But drivers of gas-powered vehicles receive a credit on gas taxes paid, but the credit can't exceed the charges paid for miles driven in a given month. In other words, you can't make money off of it. The state has No, they have 714 participating. And, yeah, a whopping 714. Let's see here. Okay, and fewer than 400 are in the system are gas-powered. So 376 of the 714 are gas-powered.
Okay. Well, that's the ultimate in virtue signaling. You get to, if you got an electric vehicle and you're involved in that, you can, that's a double. That's double virtue signaling. But the thing is, if you have an electric vehicle and you're involved in it, what kind of a, you're not buying any gas, so you don't get any gas rebate. Are you voluntarily paying more in taxes?
Well, no, you do get a, you get a refund on your gas taxes, but not your, no, the electric cars, I don't know what you're getting. I don't know what the other tax is, what the incentive is for those EVs.
Because that would be double virtue signaling. Not only do we buy an EV and pay more for a vehicle than we should have, but we are voluntarily paying our mileage tax.
Yeah, it, you're what, getting, you're getting a, okay, so what's interesting is that as they, because they're looking at trying to make this mandatory.
Right.
By 2027. All right. Well, the problem is that, you know, obviously you're going to have to find out, all right, how are you going to do this? With a state, again, they can just go from the inspection because you're going to get a report. You're going to, they're going to write down the miles at the time of inspection. So then at that point, I guess you're going to pay your taxes then.
And it's all digital now. I mean, it's not like, it's not like you can turn back the odometer.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you can't.
My mechanic.
I know a guy. Yeah. But, you know, this is, again,
you see people doing 10 years in jail for this. Sorry. We don't. You have to post bail if it's.
Right. Yeah.
Even though we're a state that is not going to push that, you have to pay bail on any type of anti-pollution crime. Anti-climate change crime.
So drivers of electric vehicles and vehicles with more than 40 miles per hour or greater efficiency get a discount.
40 miles per gallon.
40 miles. Yeah. It actually says MPH, but it is MPG. It in this article that I'm reading.
Wow.
It's from Transport Topics. So if it's above 40 or it's an EV, they get a discount on vehicle registration fees. Under the new bill, they would no longer pay a vehicle title registration when buying a car. Although some are against giving them that, you know, that consideration. Well, it doesn't make sense because we're trying to boost revenue.
Right.
You know, what are we doing here if we're just saying, okay, we'll give them that and not take that? You know, or whatever. That's the conundrum they're in. And also the mindset right now with EV owners. We're saving the planet. I'm a hero. Why are you taxing me? It was always going to be taxed. You know, you're gonna get to that point.
I'm a hero.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe here. I went a little far.
No, but I can see that in some liberal state. Here are heroes of the year.
Well,
here is this firefighter who saved 14 lives.
Yeah.
Here is a police officer that made sure he protected 20 lives. And here is a family that has bought 3 EVs.
That's
our
right.
Heroes of the year.
Heroes of the year. And that's, you know, that's the problem they're going to run into is that there is going to be pushback. There's, you know, wait a minute. It's like Obamacare. Well, wait a minute. We voted for Obama. We supported the idea of Obamacare. We didn't know we were going to have to pay for it, that couple in California, when their premiums went up. And, you know, that idea of, because it is virtue signaling for many. Nothing applies to all. And when they get approached, and all of a sudden the state is going to, you know, wait a minute. This is why I think it's taking so long. It was 2015 when they floated that, when the pilot was first floated. And now the program is in full effect, but it's still voluntary, not mandatory. Well, if politically they could get away with it, they'd have this bill passed in Oregon. And it's, you know, it's not going to happen just yet, but they're still, you know, working on it politically. How much are you going to be able to get done on this? Because you're going to have to figure out a way. I mean, with states, they can, you know, report the mileage when it's, when the car is inspected. Simple enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. But are you going to make them pay right then their all of their road tax, vehicle mileage tax, VMT, as they call it?
I'm sure there will be convenient, averaged out monthly payments.
Could be. Yeah.
Now, if you don't pay it, your EV gets repossessed.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, there's probably a number of people that, you know, don't want to get their vehicle inspected. Wait a minute. I have an EV. You know, I shouldn't have to. I don't worry about emissions, but there's other features that they inspect.
Or me with my 2003 that I got inspected. The inspection, registration is June 30th. And I can get it inspected April 1st, so I do. Therefore, I know I have 15 months.
Yeah.
No, everything's fine in my everything's fine in that vehicle. I don't want to drive a dangerous vehicle, so I even though it's older, it's
so one of the lawmakers that is looking at it in Oregon was suggesting that their state do what California and Washington are considering. Washington State are considering, which is link driver's vehicle miles traveled fee to a formula that factors in the fuel efficiency of their vehicles. And, you know, I think that's probably consideration anyway. But, you know, think about this. You went out and you bought a whatever it is. You know, you bought a hybrid, or if it's above 30 miles per gallon, you know, then you can throw in your Toyota Corolla, your Honda Fit, you know, all of these Honda Civic. You can throw in all of these many cars that have the average above 30. So those are individuals that are going, wait a minute, hold on a second. I don't like the idea of paying at the pump, and then also because this, even the idea of getting a credit against your, you know, your gas tax of, you know, what you're paying. The state still has two revenue streams.
Something for the same purpose. Yes, exactly.
But
that's why the talk is eventually getting rid of the gasoline tax and having everybody on a mileage tax, whether you drive an electric, gas, diesel, whatever, that everything would be a mileage tax.
Well, listen to this. Another option would be to simultaneously increase the gas tax further and index it to inflation. So what is the idea there? Well, we'll increase the gas tax, so we're basically nudging everybody in that direction of higher efficiency vehicles.
That's not going to happen.
You'd be surprised at how many Republicans have been on board up till now on increasing the gas tax. I was surprised.
Well, they may be for it. Mm-hmm. They haven't passed legislation.
No, so they haven't. And by the way, that's on the federal level. That's not on state levels. Right. I can't speak for Oregon.
I mean, that's the ultimate thing. You may be for it. If you're for it and you can pass something like that, probably in reconciliation and nobody's doing it, there's a reason. They may be for it, but they don't think it's a smart move to pass it.
Yeah, Democrats don't want to go it alone for sure. Yeah. I don't think Republicans want to go alone on something like that either. You want the blame shared equally.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
¶¶
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Interesting article, op-ed piece, actually, in the Washington Times, and it's from David Deming, who is a geophysicist and professor at the University of Oklahoma. And he talks about what we've talked about many times, the reality, why fossil fuels are here to stay no matter what Democrats try to tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's why when the president came out and stated back in when he was running for president that we're going to be, that his goal is to be totally alternative, be solar and wind by 2035. We said that's impossible. It's not going to happen. He's lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or he is completely and totally clueless. Either could be right. He's either completely or totally clueless on how the real world works, or he's lying to you. It's one or the other.
Right.
Because it's impossible to do. And Professor Deming goes through, everything that we've seen happening, the Keystone Pipeline being canceled, oil leases and whatever. And he says, but the Energy Information Administration estimates that in the year 2050, and remember, 15 years earlier is when Biden said we were going to be all solar and wind. And then remember, he added nuclear to that here in mm-hmm. the last 6 months. Oh, nuclear too.
Mm-hmm.
But the two leading sources of energy sources in 2050 by the Biden administration will be gas and oil. Renewables, while the fastest growing category, are only anticipated to supply about 20% of the energy mix. China has more than 1,000 coal-fired electric power plants, and the coal use in China continues to increase year after year. The characterization of wind and solar power as sustainable and renewable is misleading. Only the fuels, wind and sunshine, are free. The infrastructure necessary to capture, concentrate, and deliver the energy is not sustainable. Both wind and solar suffer from inherent limitations in which there is no conceivable technological solution. They are dilute and intermittent. There is no mechanical fix that can make the sun shine at night or the wind blow during a calm. Battery storage is insufficient by many orders of magnitude. Mining raw materials for battery manufacturing has environmental consequences. Lithium-ion batteries and solar panels wear out and accumulate in landfills as toxic waste with the potential for groundwater contamination. Renewable energy sources are entirely unsuitable for aviation and long-distance transport and cannot meet varying demands for electricity. Texas, as an example, I put that in there, not him. It is a utopian fantasy, or we call a delusion, to imagine that solar and wind power will ever be able to make more than marginal contributions to the energy mix. For a long time, one of the arguments for phasing out fossil fuels was that the supply is limited and it was prudent to switch to alternative sources before exhaustion. That doesn't exist anymore. The introduction of new production technologies reverse that trend, and by 2019, U.S. oil production had exceeded the peak of 1970. Remember, that was the peak 1970? When the supply of oil became so abundant that the price briefly became negative on April 20th, 2020, a stake was driven through the heart of the peak oil theory. It is now apparent that the magnitude of the worldwide petroleum resource exceeds 10 trillion barrels, and we've only produced 10 to 20% of that. And that doesn't even consider the unconventional resources such as oil shale. At current consumption rates, both coal and gas resources are sufficient for hundreds of years. Fossil fuels will gradually be phased out of the energy supply this century, but not by renewables. Nuclear power is the only feasible technology that has the potential to supply electric power that is concentrated, reliable, and low in cost. And I'm so happy he brings in the whole point of being concentrated.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
because that's something that's completely lost. We have talked about that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it takes? You know what type of a grid you need and what the cost would be to if you believed that you could produce enough power by wind and solar as the delusional presidential administration believes we can by 2035. You know what that would look like? Do you know how widespread the grid would be? Do you know how many millions of acres of forest land that would have to come down completely?
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible to do.
There's simply not enough land.
Yep. And he talks about, you know, the new technologies that they're looking into nuclear that can make it even better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that's not even guaranteed yet. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee that they're going to have that either.
Well,
but they said attempts to artificially reduce fossil fuel use before nuclear power comes online will strangle economic growth and human prosperity. What the Democrats are doing is not based on any type of realism. It's based on making you suffer.
Pain is part of the plan, as we've been saying.
Yeah.
And it is an effort to gain a greater control of government control of the energy sector. If you can regulate them out of business and there is no investment domestically, that domestic investment starts to go away, then you've got a greater likelihood that and this is what they tried to do with healthcare. The problem is the pain is too great on both healthcare and energy. But it doesn't stop them from trying. And we've seen it. Look, high gas prices are not sustainable. But it's an incredible transition, according to Biden. No, it isn't. It may be for you to retire in 2024.
Listen nightly on this, your favorite radio station, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Breaking news overnight, 10 miners trapped in a coal mine, Mexican coal mine, after a collapse on this morning. As rescuers desperately tried to dig them out, the miners were inside the tunnel Wednesday afternoon when an inner wall collapsed and flooded the mine in the city of Sabinas. Authorities said 3 miners have been pulled out and sent to area hospitals. Thus far, a team of emergency personnel, nearly 100 soldiers, specialists, and rescue dogs continue the rescue effort for the remaining 10 men. Mm. That's from the New York Post.
Yeah.
Here, the Mexican president broke the news on Twitter and said 9 men were trapped. That number was later revised to 10. I hope we find them safe.
Yeah.
He tweeted out. So That's the latest that we have. I don't know how far they're down or anything yet. That's just from the New York Post.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that or find that as well in some of the other coverage of that in recent hours, and I haven't been able to find that. But let's hope they can find them all safe.
Well, speaking of coal and speaking of energy, have you seen the memes that are out there? They're all over the place saying, here's the fuel for the electric vehicles, and you see all these rail cars loaded with coal.
Yeah, right.
That's been the last couple of weeks. That is,
yeah, it's interesting. That's really picked up.
I mean, it really has. Yeah,
This is because that's the way it's going to go. You're not going to have grids powered by wind and solar. It's just not going to happen.
A collection of pro coal groups say pro coal 5 times very fast.
Yeah, right.
Went after legislation backed by Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, declaring in a letter that the measure would be disastrous for the coal industry. This legislation is so egregious, it leaves those of us that calls Senator Manchin a friend. Shocked and disheartened, the letter declares, the current Schumer-Manchin draft agreement on climate and energy frankly leaves us questioning the motivation and sincerity of Manchin's previous stance and his repeated chant, we must innovate, not eliminate. The current Schumer-Manchin draft agreement will quickly diminish our coal-producing operations and all but obviate any need to innovate coal assets. Some other signers of the included the president of the Coal Miners Association of Kentucky, the Ohio Coal Association, and the West Virginia Coal Association. Why support anything that Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, or John Kerry want for coal? It is incomprehensible why any miner would support the Manchin-Schumer legislation, which will not only put an immediate stop to the investment and financing behind our state's coal and electric generating assets, but forever foreclose on America's coal industry, the letter declares. United Mine Workers of America International President Cecil Roberts has called for Congress to approve the legislation. This goes back to the Obama administration when Obama said his whole goal was to bankrupt the coal industry.
Right.
And the coal miners union came out in support of destroying their own industry.
They endorsed Obama.
And they're doing it again.
Wow.
I know. It just.
Well, they can learn to code.
Don't worry.
Hmm.
Starbucks is slowly unionizing.
Mm-hmm.
They can learn,
the coal miners can learn to code. It's an incredible transition.
No, the coal miners can learn to brew.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. with the stores that are closing. This is inevitable that the unions were going to drive to, that point. What's next? Union leadership? Shut us down! Come on, everybody, get on the line. What are we writing on the picket
signs? Hell yes, we will go. Hell
exactly.
Yes, we will go.
Right. I mean,
look,
insanity.
If the United States leading feminist leaders destroyed liberal feminism because of the liberal transgender activist movement, why wouldn't we expect that the leaders of the liberal union unions across the country wouldn't destroy unions? This is what they're doing now.
Yeah.
This is the woke thing. Let's destroy ourselves. And we had mentioned when Gloria Steinem came out and said, oh, I'm all for men playing women's sports, and I'm all for the liberal transgender activist movement.
Right.
So, okay, so you're for the ability for men to define the definition of women then? And women must submit? That's really interesting from Gloria Steinem. Now the unions have decided we're going to do the same thing. Let's support legislation that will destroy all of our jobs. Yay!
Yay!
I'm waiting for Democrats to come up with a proposal to destroy the Democratic Party now. That should be next.
Well, technically, they're already doing that, so...
It's just amazing.
It really is insanity. It really is insanity. Zero self-awareness. And, well, if you're a union member, I guess you're paying your dues for leadership to do this. Wow.
Yeah, I just you shake your head. But really interesting. I love you know, talking about energy and where we're going, because it's so important. The reason that we live in a first world, the reason that we have created the most modern society in all of mankind has been because of energy and electricity, which is energy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a political party which wishes to completely destroy that. Think about that. That is absolutely, when you look back, historians look back and say, why was a major political party attempting to destroy the energy and economic security and the security of their nation by committing this economic, energy, and security suicide, slow suicide? Why would they do this? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I can take any liberal within 2 minutes and they'll understand and say, yeah, okay, that doesn't make sense, but we need to save the planet. Well, this isn't the way to do it.
Well,
you're not saving the planet.
Well, no, you're putting people in danger, and you're destroying a great amount of wealth for everybody in the process. Think about the depletion of wealth of all of this, because it's not cost effective to go this route. But the wealth expansion that happens with the further production of oil and natural gas is undeniable. We've just made an effort to shut it down, and we keep moving in that direction. As long as you want to move in the direction that is going to punish investment for traditional forms of energy, then expect that there won't be that investment there. And eventually, what do? Well, you have a grid, and you have, like in Texas, where you have ERCOT sending out warnings. Hey, everybody. Yeah, we know. It's July. That's when, because you look at the modern grid, you look at what we have built as a society and why we built it. It's not just about comfort. It's about safety.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is out the window. Because in Texas, you should plan for 120 every day. You should also plan for 30 below in the winter.
Right.
Is it going to happen?
No.
Likely no, but you plan for it, and you have a grid that can accommodate it with no problem.
That's what you do as a modern society.
Yep. To make sure that the safety of your citizens is number one.
Right. And when you do that, you've added a certain amount of redundancy to protect yourself.
Yep.
I was reading yesterday, I forgot where the article was, that was talking about the fact that, I guess yesterday we used more energy than we've ever used before, more electricity, and it's supposed to be the same tomorrow.
Right.
And what they're worried about is the traditional consistent forms of energy have been on for so long that they're worried about their reliability. And at the same time, you know, it's the government that has told all these places, you're going to be out of business in 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
Well, there's not going to be, and this is why the question was even asked to the White House. How can you expect, I think it was CNBC, was it? I got to find it. Asked to the White House, if you're telling these companies you're going to shut them down, why would they reinvest in their companies? Why would there be a 10-year investment plan or a 20-year investment plan to retool coal plants or natural gas plants or anything when you've told them we're going to shut you down?
Right.
They're not going to do it. Well, they're only worried about profits. Yeah, because you told them their profits are limited.
Yep.
Because they're only going to be around for a certain length of time. So they're not going to continue to invest. They're not investing back into their plants because you told them you're going to kill them.
Yep.
And it's really, you and I, this goes back to 2005 in Katrina, when there were so many people around the Superdome after it, waiting to be rescued. And you and I said at that point, the pathology of dependency, liberalism in that area had won because you had people that were not concerned about their own survival.
Right.
They weren't concerned that liberalism had given them the pathology of dependency where they believed that the government could save them no matter what.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that instinct of self-preservation a couple of days because we have said, well, they didn't have a car. So what? You start walking.
You had days.
Right. You had days knowing that was going to come in.
Yes.
And as I said, you take a wagon or you take a backpack and you put a couple of bottles of water in and you start walking with your family out of there. And in a day, you can walk to the point where you can get to a shelter or emergency people will help you get out of there and put you into a shelter. But the only thing you're thinking about or should be thinking about at that point is your life. Now we have long-term premeditated economic energy and security suicide in this country by the Democrats. It's a long-range plan based on their delusion.
Yep.
To not protect the population and the citizens of the United States. It is such pure insanity. And yet it goes on every day, and nobody in the Democratic Party questions it at all. They don't question it. They don't say, well, this is insane. Why would you do this? They just go along with it.
Right. No, they won.
Yeah?
They've won.
To a certain extent, they've won. To a certain number of their Democratic followers, they have won and succeeded in some
and Republican type of, states that will take federal money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. With the brainwashing that we can live a delusional, unscientific, future that we can actually live in a decade or so, and it can't happen.
No, it's not going to happen. The only thing that will happen if we go this direction is pain, suffering.
Yeah. And so be interesting to see what happens in the midterm, right?
Yeah.
whether some people are actually getting the message.
Very curious.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. Go woke, go broke. Latest on what's going on in Hollywood. We'll tell you about the Minnesota school district that has poured millions into woke math as student scores plummet, and the growing number of young people in apprenticeships instead of college. All coming up.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.